Welcome to Big Blue Hits Live, fueled by Hess, Anita Marks, and our special guest today is Giants kicker Josh Brown. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
This is your first time here in studio for Big Blue Hits Live. It's a fun show. It's a show really for the fans, for Big Blue Nation. They're watching online. They have an opportunity to call into the show, ask you anything they want to ask you, and it's a chance for us to get to know you a little bit better.
Sure.
All right, so again, the phone number, 201-939-4513. Again, 201-939-4513. So please pick up, dial. We'd love to hear from you. So first and foremost, this is your first year with the Giants. How has it been for you?
This has been great. This is one of the top-notch organizations of the NFL, and it's definitely lived up to its reputation and the things that I've heard through over a decade of being in it.
You know, it's interesting because you hear that from a lot of players who've played at a lot of different organizations and franchises. What makes the Giants the top-notch organization in professional sports?
Well, I think pure professionalism, understanding exactly what is needed to win. Everybody's working together. It's really a team environment from administration all the way down, and you can see how even guys intermingle. There's a sense of family and community here, and that's not necessarily the case in every organization, but this place is serious. It's about winning, and they make that the top priority, and it's easy, it's infectious, and it's a fun place to be.
So you're absolutely right. I mean, this organization typically is used to winning and used to being in it at this stage in the game in the regular season. Unfortunately, you are not.
Yeah.
I really feel this has to be probably the most difficult year for head coach Tom Coughlin in his coaching experience. How has he kept this locker room together?
Well, I think that's been the biggest, most amazing thing to me is from coming from other teams and being in organizations where we have lost majority of the games, you see the culture just dissipate and fall apart. And for Coach Coughlin to always inspire hope and belief and the sense of brotherhood that he started even back in August, to still be positive, to still be promoting that theme, and to still have enough leaders on this team to continue to push young guys to have that sense of family, to now fight for self-respect. Because, I mean, you're really not playing for anything at this point but your own heart and your own self-respect in the league. And for a lot of guys, how are you going to finish this year? It's a character check. Are you worth coming back here next year?
I've seen bits and pieces of Tom Coughlin's speeches, before and after a game, but never the entire thing. I mean, what makes him so special? Because I heard his speeches are just ridiculous. They just make you want to run through a brick wall.
Well, it's the call to manhood. That's the way, I'm a little older than most of the guys there. I'm 34. I have three children. I mean, my oldest son's 15.
Oh, wow.
I pick up a huge sense of, are you a man or are you not? Where's your responsibility lie? Where's your principles? And that alone, if it doesn't make you have a gut check and look inside to see if you will run through that brick wall, he does a great job of pulling that energy out of you.
And in just taking a look at your stats, unfortunately this season you started a little slow, and I know that because I owned you in fantasy football. But you gained momentum and you had a lot more consistency towards the end of the season. Mm-hmm. What do you attribute that to?
Just perseverance and persistence. This is not my first go around, and I've missed field goals before, and you just got to continue to work, continue to believe that you're better than that moment. And, so far this has actually been an outstanding year for me as far as my career is concerned. And we still got two games to go. And I'm looking to continue that and continue to add to it and hopefully make something happen here.
So it sounds like when you got the call to be a Giant, you were pretty excited about the organization. Obviously, you've got immense respect for Tom Coughlin. Mm-hmm. But to be a field goal kicker at MetLife Stadium here in the Meadowlands, probably one of the most difficult venues for a kicker. How's it been for you this season?
Well, it's actually been really good. It's been really good. I think the Cowboys game was obviously, as far as weather's concerned, has been the most challenging. But I've always kicked well here since the new stadium's been open. I've always kicked well when I was here. Now, the old stadium was a bit different of a story. It was much harder, much breezier. But I tend to do quite well in the elements here. And my time in Seattle and even my college years in Nebraska, I've dealt with this kind of weather. And so I actually feel more accustomed to being out in the elements rather than being inside.
So this week, pretty interesting week for field goal kickers in the NFL. You have Justin Tucker. He wins AFC Special Teams Player of the Week, a 61-yarder against the Detroit Lions, the team you guys are about to face this Sunday. And then you got Garrett Hartley, who was just fired, let go from the Saints for missing two field goals against the Rams. They bring in Shane Graham. So it's kind of like, you know, like every kick matters.
Yeah.
I mean, the pressure is immense for field goal kickers.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. And I mean, I think the main point is to understand that we're all dispensable. You are replaceable. And sometimes we can price ourselves out of the league when we are so edged about getting that money. And I think that's a big deal because then you would just add more pressure to yourself. But the big thing is you have to make every kick. In this league, there are thousands of kickers coming out of college who want to be pro kickers. And they're younger, they're stronger, they're cheaper. And you can't afford to miss. Justin Tucker came in last year just on fire.
Right.
And he's absolutely continued to be ablaze.
Unbelievable.
And, you know, he almost dropped the snap on the 61-yarder to be able to just recover, stay mentally focused, and muscle the ball 61 yards. Whether it went by 10 yards or just by 10 inches, it's still 3 points. And he's an incredible, incredible kicker.
We need to take a break. When we come back, I want to know the mindset of a field goal kicker and the pressure that you go through in each game. And we'll continue to take your calls. 201-939-4513. Josh Brown in studio. We'll be right back.
Little thing most people don't know about me. I've been singing since I was about five. Play the piano. You know, I've been doing it since I was a little kid, and you know, I haven't shared the whole singing thing with everybody, but you know, it's something that I've kind of kept to myself, but always have enjoyed doing that and passing that on to you know, my kids and my family. If I had one book, that's no problem. I would be stuck with the Bible. If I had one video game, it'd be the original Mario Brothers with the original Nintendo. And one movie? Man. Tombstone. One of my favorite songs. Keep on rocking in the free world. I sang that with karaoke the other night. That's the reason it came to my mind.
Like you, he has three or four teams on fantasy. He's doing some good
We're
stuff.
Back. Welcome We're back. Back. Yeah, welcome back to Big Blue Hits Live, fueled by Hess, Anita Marks, Josh Brown, 201-939-4513. We do have some callers on, but I'm curious.
Okay.
3 seconds left on the clock. You're down by 1 point. This is your opportunity to seal the deal and win it for the club. What goes through your mind? How do you mentally prepare yourself for that?
You know, for me, it's always been going back to practice. And Coach Coughlin has a saying, if you got to chop down a tree in 6 hours, you take 4 hours to sharpen the axe. So it's all about preparation. And that's how you train. You train for those different positions on the field. You train outside. And you put yourself into that mental mode during practice. Every day is a game. Coach Holmgren told me one time, if I come to your house at 3 a.m, I want you to kick me a 40-yarder. You better be able to make it. And that's
like the
same mentality that I've taken this whole entire career, is no matter if it's a 17-yarder in the first quarter or a 55-yarder with 1 second to go, they're all the same and they're all important. And you have to treat them that way so that when those situations come up, the situation itself doesn't take over your heart and your mind.
Does the timeout really, I mean, does that really freeze you? I mean, does that really work?
I think it works on young guys.
Because we as the viewers hate it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it just drags the suspense
out. It's an opportunity to go get another beer, but other than that, it drags it out. Let's go to our callers. We have Ernest calling in from Connecticut. Ernest, welcome to the show. You're on with Josh Brown.
Josh Brown, it's nice to speak with you. I think you're doing a pretty good job this year with the kicking. But there was one question that I want to ask about Beeson. Do you think that they will sign him to a decent contract this year? And do you think that Terrell Thomas will return? And
these are These are a lot of questions for a kicker. First and foremost, let's talk about Beeson because I think he's been a silver lining with this organization to come in, immediately comes to that locker room, becomes a leader.
Yeah.
Everybody really loves the guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been great for the team.
Well, yeah, and I mean, you look at his career. I mean, he is just a stout human being. That's like hitting a stone wall. And do I know if he's going to come back? I don't. Would I love to be teammates with him? Absolutely. I think any guy that can take on Marshawn Lynch in a gap like he did last week and deliver a shot solely and take that guy down deserves every opportunity to stay on the field, and hopefully we get to watch him do a little bit more of that.
Yeah, I've loved having him here this season. Let's go to George in New Jersey. George, welcome to the show. What's your question for Josh?
My question is, how does it feel when the other coaches try to ice you?
I can't hear him.
He wants to know, how does it feel when the other coaches iced you? It's kind of what I asked in regard to when somebody calls a timeout. Does that really work?
It gives me an opportunity to go back to the sideline and kind of start it over. And if there is a nerve there, I can calm it down. You know, so, I mean, it really, in my experience, it has not worked against veteran guys. It's worked the opposite. It gives you a better opportunity to understand the wind if you're in a very weathered situation. But it tends to work on some of the younger guys when you get them to thinking. They can talk themselves out of making most of those.
All right, out of curiosity, because this week in fantasy football, you and David Akers mm-hmm. are a really high play. For whatever reason, the Giants and the Lions give up a ton of field goal points to opposing field goal kickers. And we discussed this before we started the show, and I asked you, what dictates that? Is it a team that gives up a lot of yards but are really good in the red zone, therefore a team has to settle for 3 as opposed to 7? Do you go into a game realizing that about certain defenses, knowing that your services might be called upon more so than another opponent or another defense?
I don't really look at from that point of view. You know, I guess my point of view is they're all the poles are yellow. And regardless of who we're playing, that's my job. And whether it be like last week where I kick off to start the game and don't touch the field again, or is it Philly where I hit 5, I go into every game anticipating I'm going to score every single point and being prepared from all distances and lengths. And if I can get outside and practice, obviously I want to be in the wind and in the elements, but I just don't go that far into it. I mean, it's smarter, not harder. And the goalposts are right there in the same place every week, so I just try to make them all.
When the schedule comes out, do you immediately go to December and see how many indoor games you have?
I absolutely do.
I love it.
Yeah, yeah. I think every kicker it could second as a weatherman.
I mean,
we do check. We do wonder what's going to be happening. And, if you see 10 to 15 miles an hour wind, you go, okay, I can adjust to that. That's not any big deal. You see 20 plus, you're like, okay, now I need to play it a little bit outside 40. You really got to know yourself and know how that your ball flies in those situations. And so, again, it comes back to just preparation and being prepared for whatever Mother Nature throws at you.
All right, last question for you. Cincinnati, their punter, just got knocked on the chin. You said that he's actually a friend of yours because you played in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Broken chin, some broken bones in his face, and also potentially broken vertebrae.
Yeah.
I get it, it's a punter, you're a kicker, but at the same time, you're the last line of defense mm-hmm. in the kicking game. Is your head has to be on a swivel as well.
Don't let anybody behind you, period, because that's exactly where they're coming from. The moment you turn to chase or turn to move in a different direction, and we literally just got done watching this tape, and it did. It broke his jaw, it cracked a vertebrae, and I think he bit his tongue in half because most of us don't wear mouthpieces.
Oh.
And that's my rule of thumb. Kick it as far as you can so you don't have to cover.
Right.
You know, and I never, ever let anybody behind me or to the outside of me. I mean, I see the field. I see guys crossing in front of me. It's a little bit more difficult as a punter. You want to get up in there, but and the rule states that once a kicker kicks the ball, he is not allowed really to be hit like that. That guy's probably going to be fined $15,000, $20,000 for that, but unfortunately, Kevin's going to be out the rest of the season.
I'm probably more grossed out about the fact that he bit his tongue.
Yeah, it's pretty nasty.
Yeah, it is. Thank you so much for joining
us.
It was a pleasure having you in studio, and good luck on Sunday.
Appreciate it.
And welcome to the Giants.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. This is when we make the switch. Roman Oben will join me in studio. We're going to continue to take your calls and talk about the matchup as the Giants head to the Motor City, take on the Detroit Lions, 201-939-4513. During the break, enjoy the 10 things you need to know about the Giants and the Lions matchup heading into this weekend. We'll be right back.
Here are the top 10 things you need to know about the Giants-Lions rivalry. 10. The number of 50-yard field goals Ali Haji Cheek attempted in his Giants career, including a successful 56-yarder in 1983 against Detroit that remains tied for the longest in Big Blue history. 6 weeks prior, Haji Cheek made one from the same distance in a win over the Packers. 9. The number of first overall draft picks since Eli Manning went number one in 2004. Of those, Detroit's Matthew Stafford and Indianapolis's Andrew Luck are the only two Manning has never faced. Stafford did not play in the 2010 meeting. Manning and the Giants are 8-4 against the others combined. Alex Smith, Mario Williams, Jamarcus Russell, Jake Long, Sam Bradford, Cam Newton, and Eric Fisher. 8. The number of road wins the Giants have over the Lions in franchise history. They're 8-12-1 as the away team, but have won the last four times in Detroit, 1988, 96, 97, and 2007. 7. The number of 0-0 ties in Giants history, most recently happening in a 1943 stalemate at Detroit. 6. The number of completed passes the Giants and Lions each had in a 1958 meeting. They are the fewest by either team in series history, as the Giants prevailed 19-17. 5. The Giants notched 5 interceptions by 5 different players in a 1996 victory over the Lions, the most in series history. Tito Wooten, Maurice Douglas, Corey Widmer, Ray Agnew, and Will Beeman had one apiece. 4. The longest winning streak by the Giants over the Lions is 4 games, stretching from 1988 to 1994, by a combined score of 87-34. However, the Giants trail the all-time series 20-19-1 in the regular season. 3. The number of shutouts New York has over Detroit, most recently in 1990, when Pepper Johnson and Lawrence Taylor each had 1.5 sacks, and Phil Sims threw for 2 touchdowns en route to a 20-0 win. The others were 1943 and 1931, when the Lions were still the Portsmouth Spartans. 2. Eli Manning is 2-0 against the Lions, notching a road win in 2007 and a home one in 2010. He's thrown 3 touchdowns and 0 interceptions with a 69.6 completion percentage and a passer rating of 102.3. 1. The franchises have met once in the postseason when Detroit spoiled New York's bid for back-to-back NFL championships in 1935. The Lions won 26-7 at University of Detroit Stadium, a year after the Giants had beaten the Bears for the 1934 title known as the Sneakers Game. Detroit's victory was the first of 4 NFL championships for the franchise.
And we're back. Big Blue Hits Live, fueled by Hess and Anita Marks, and we've made the switch from kicker to former offensive lineman of your New York Football Giants, Roman Oben. Roman, welcome.
Thank you. How's it going?
It's going. I'm getting ready for the holidays.
I don't really like the holidays. I'm not a holiday guy, so I just...
You've got 2 boys. That's got to be fun, like Christmas presents.
No, it's good for them, but I don't, you know, it's football season. So what are you going to do?
Grinch.
Yes.
Yes. All right. At a Roman News of the Day, unfortunately, Victor Cruz dealing with a concussion and knee issue. Actually did not see him in the locker room today, so the media did not have an opportunity to talk to him. He did not practice. Chances are he will not play this week at Detroit.
Yeah, it was really awful to see the way he came down on that catch that he made. You know, concussion with the knee issue. I mean, Victor Cruz has clearly been the most reliable offensive player this season for the team. So for him being out these last, possibly these last 2 weeks, is going to be a big blow to the offense.
All right, so the injury list for today and guys who did not practice. Not sure if we have enough time to fit everybody into this segment. Brewer, Deal, Hillis, Jernigan, JPP, Colin Jenkins, McBride, Cooper Taylor. I mean, a number of guys did not practice today and not sure who's going to be able to go. But let's first and foremost talk about that offensive line. And Brewer had a rough go at it against Detroit. Chances, against Seattle, going up against Detroit, there's this guy named Sue. Not sure if you've heard of him before. I mean, imagine that matchup.
Well, I think, again, you know, you're almost, I made this comment earlier. I mean, you're at the bottom of the bag here with offensive linemen. With, you know, Brewer, Deal, you know, not the starters at the beginning of the season. Then you've got these 2 good defensive linemen that the more than 2, but the interior defensive linemen Detroit has. So They're going to have to give it whatever they have and really maybe even try to play hurt this week.
Talk about Sue for a second. I mean, some people say that he's the dirtiest player, in one of the dirtiest in the NFL. I mean, as a former offensive line, is this a guy that you would look forward to playing against, or you would not look forward to playing against?
Well, he's a guy you want on your team, and obviously he has some injuries. Not injuries, but has some penalties and fines and things like that by the league. But he's a guy you want on your team, but you don't want him to play dirty. You always want to keep everything in the whistle.
All right, let's talk about Jernigan. Unfortunately, he's dealing with an injury, but really an opportunity. If Victor Cruz does not go, could see a lot of playing time, especially in that slot position.
Yeah, I mean, seeing Jernigan play last week, it was like the fourth quarter of a preseason game, you know, him trying to make all these catches to make the team. But look, he's up. You know, Coach Coughlin said earlier in the press conference that he ran the ball hard, he was reliable, and, you know, he's a guy that needs some touches to get him going. So, look, he's a very talented player. He's a tough player, and maybe this will be an opportunity for him to finally show what he can do throughout the course of a game, not just on special teams.
And if he does not go, Lewis Murphy should have an opportunity. I'm interested to see what Lewis Murphy could do. We really haven't seen a lot of him this season. Also, Peyton Hillis dealing with a concussion. That might open the door for Michael Cox to get some playing time and be a not a starter, but be active.
Look, one thing you can say about this Giants team, that they, especially on offense, I mean, they've had to use everybody. Everyone that's made the team, offensive line, the backs, and they've added guys. And Michael Cox, is another guy who's a rookie. He's had to learn this offense, obviously learn the playbook a little bit, but he's big, he's got good size, he's talented, he's a tough runner, and he's a guy that could be reliable. I mean, and let's be honest, we don't know what's going to happen to David Wilson next year with that neck injury. I mean, you never know, Michael, it could be a Cox-Brown tandem next season.
All right, Corey Webster goes on IR. Very unfortunate. McBride is hurt as well. Not a good week to have some issues in your secondary, health issues in your secondary, when you're going up against Megatron, Calvin Johnson with the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, and it's not just Megatron as a whole, but it's their offense as well. They're very explosive. You obviously got, you know, Reggie Bush, but I think with the cornerbacks, that's going to really be a challenge. If there's any weakness in that depth at cornerback, you know, Prince Mukamara has played well all year. But, yeah, McBride has been injured. Obviously, Corey Webster's on IR. I mean, Charles Thomas has only been practicing once a week. So, I mean, you got an explosive offense. I mean, Megatron. Yeah, Megatron, he's the best receiver in the league. He's big. He's physical. He can go up and get those balls, and it's going to be a challenge for the secondary.
Yeah, I'm interested to see. Is this going to be Prince's main? Is it going to be Prince against Megatron? Interested to see that matchup.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, Tom said he didn't know exactly. He didn't want to say exactly what he was going to do, but they're definitely going to try to find some combination that works for them.
All right, quick break. We're back with our last segment. Your opportunity to jump on board, 201-939-4513. More to come here on Big Blue Hits Live.
The objective of the Tom Coughlin J Fund Foundation is to be there for families who have a child with leukemia, cancer, other forms of cancer.
Tom Coughlin, nice to meet you. Are you a Giant fan? Well, you're a pretty girl.
It's a tremendous feeling to just be with these kids, to have a little bit of an idea of what the families and the children are going through, and again, to try to bring a smile to their face and to let them know that, you know what? We do care.
Yeah, turn everybody down. Yeah.
There's so many things pulling at that family when your child is diagnosed with cancer. What we try to do is keep that core, keep them a family.
Just lightening their burden a little bit is huge for them because it's one less thing that they have to worry about. They can focus on their child and their child getting the treatment that they need.
Giants! There you go. Giants.
Phone lines are open, 201-939-4513. Let's talk about JPP. Out again, unfortunately dealing with some issues. But even though he's not been 100%, this defensive line, you have to give them credit. They've actually done a good job this season stopping the run.
Well, it's been known all year. I mean, the big emphasis on this defensive line, especially the interior of the defensive line, was to stop the run. I think last year, 12 seasons, about 28th in the league as far as rushing. They improved that a lot this year. They've shut down a lot of backs. Including Seattle running back Beast Mode. They shut him down, you know, under 50 yards rushing. So the defensive line interior, they've done a good job at run defense. Now sacks, been a little sporadic. Tuck's had a good year in the sack, especially the last three games. And again, JPP, this is a situation where if JPP's healthy, as he was, let's say, 2 years ago, you might have seen more sack production and less offensive explosion on the other side.
Again, 201-939-4513, your opportunity to get into the show. You've got any questions about the Giants and Lions matchup on Sunday. Matthew Stafford, this is a team that the NFC North competing, of course, the Lions, the Bears, and now they're saying Aaron Rodgers might come back this week. Matthew Stafford, though, very bad performance against the Baltimore Ravens. But yet at the same time, it's kind of this is a team you really don't know what you're going to expect. One week, they put up a ton of points. The next week, they struggle, like we saw them struggle against the Ravens.
Yeah, I mean, since their bye week, the Lions are, you know, they've lost four games, four out of six games, I think they've lost since their bye week, November 3rd weekend. So, but we all know how explosive they are. We all know the weapons they have. You know, we talk about 400 yards a game passing. I mean, they throw the ball getting off the bus. So, but again, you have to try to find a way to stop them. They're going to get the yards. I don't think Megatron has 325 yarder like he did against Dallas. You hope he doesn't have these 70, 80 yard breaks. But again, you have to get to him. You have to make him uncomfortable. And you're going to have to make Stafford really pump it a few times and let maybe that pass rush collapse, or let the defensive backs get out of their breaks and not let those big plays happen.
All right, let's talk about Calvin Johnson. Many feel that he is the best wide receiver in the NFL. And in what you've seen, do you agree with that? Do you think Megatron is the best wide receiver in the NFL right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think Calvin Johnson represents what a receiver is right now in the NFL, even in college. I mean, 6'5", 230. You know, in the old days, it was that's tight end size, you know, but now he's just as fast as receivers. He's just as big as a tight end. When he goes up and catches balls, he's like grabbing rebounds. I mean, he doesn't one-handed. He's got a pure combination of size, speed, strength, skill, route running, being explosive, and, you know, he's the best for a reason.
I remember when he came out of college, I was absolutely shocked. I used to watch him all the time at Georgia Tech, because I love watching college football, and I just was shocked that he wasn't the number one pick overall. I just could not believe that.
Well, the Lions have had some issues drafting receivers number one overall over time, but
it's true.
But again, you know, I was talking to Monty Tuber about this. You know, in the old days, it was he and Keyshawn Johnson were like the big receivers, Mushi Muhammad. Now, all these guys are 6'5", 220 pounds, so it's Calvin Johnson really represents, you know, the new direction of what receivers are in the NFL.
Reggie Bush, I call him the elixir in this offense, because this is an offense that Jahvid Best, who unfortunately is no longer playing in the NFL because of concussion issues, really helped that offense go. Then they lost him, didn't do so well last year. Now Reggie Bush is a part of this offense, and he's really, I think, the difference maker. But he hasn't been able to stay healthy. He's dealing with a calf issue, which affects his knee. He did put up some good points, helped them put up some points against the Ravens last week. But nonetheless, your thoughts on Reggie Bush going up against this Giants defense?
Well, he's always been an electrifying guy. And when other teams have, you know, run between the tackles, they've gotten stopped. Adrian Peterson, you know, Marshawn Lynch, all these guys. But Reggie Bush gives you a different wrinkle. He's very explosive. You know, the irony that he left New Orleans and now he's like a Darren Sproles in Detroit. But again, the screens, the draws, you know, the quick hits, the little angle routes. I mean, you saw Woodhead a few weeks ago. It's the same similar thing. And then you've got this kid Bell, who's your tackle-to-tackle guy. He, you know, 5'11", 230 pounds, physical guy. You know, when it's third and one, goal line. I mean, you see him running in the snow. I mean, he's that type of back. So it's really a good tandem in what they've done offensively with Reggie Bush and Bell with the bigger back.
I know we only have a few more minutes left in the show, but let's get to the defense and their defensive line. You know, got to worry about Eli Manning and with that pass rush, as we talked about Sue a little bit earlier, concerns about Eli staying healthy this week?
Well, again, you're on the road, so it's going to be loud. The crowd noise in the dome, I mean, those things do pose some challenges for offensive linemen. Obviously, everyone knows who Dominican Sue is, but this guy Farley, he's really a more complete player. I worry more about him on Brewer than I do Sue on Booth and Deal. I mean, look at both of these guys are really, really highly productive. Sue is always going to make one or two big plays behind the line of scrimmage every game, but Farley, over the course of a game, is really a complete defensive tackle. It's going to be a big challenge for the Giants' offensive line.
quick note here, the Lions, their pass defense, they've given up 22 passing touchdowns this season. So hoping that that bodes well for the Giants offense. Roman, it's been fun. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
We want to thank Josh Brown, who joined us as well. We'll be back tomorrow. Paul Dottino will be hosting with Roman Oben, and I will have your fantasy football update. We'll see you then.